This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in the NFL, Week 17, recording here on Saturday, early afternoon, East Coast time, about 12:45. When you hear this, this will officially be the first regular season for This Week in the NFL, where there were no bye weeks for us. So that is quite the accomplishment. We're proud of that. We're happy to have our listeners stay with us for all 17 weeks and looking forward to taking you through the playoffs. So as always, for introductions, I'm your co-host, the Cowboy, joined by Mr. D'Amato. John, what's going on?
Roger, glad you survived the holidays. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Merry everything to everybody, and it's good. I know you had a busy week. It's good that somebody was out there working, because it seemed like the whole world was off this week. So a couple of people got to keep the economy going. I'm glad it was you, and not me.
Happy to help, as I say. So that's what. Anywho, enough about real life. Let's talk football. So, big week, week 17, and there's still quite a few things up in the air. Where I'd like to start is a look back at the, on the surface, the most important game for the playoffs for last week, which was the battle for the NFC East title. If the Cowboys won, they were in, they won the title. The Eagles, with a win, would control their own destiny. We both picked the Cowboys, figuring that talent would win out, given they had looked very good the previous week against the Rams. The Eagles had been pulling games out of the fire against the bottom third of the league. And what happened, John? What happened is the Eagles came out, punched him in the mouth. Dak was just clearly not 100%, but regardless, the Cowboys came up extraordinarily small in a big spot again, and the Eagles kind of put it on him. They put it on him. They had the Eagles were without Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, Jordan Howard, and Zach Ertz was completely hobbled for most of the game. So that is their four biggest offensive weapons, right, at the beginning of the year. Oh, and DeSean Jackson, which everybody talks about. But Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert and Greg Ward, they got it done. The Eagles' defense got it done, and the Eagles now control their own destiny, John.
Yeah, a sad pick by us. Going in, the thoughts about the pick was that Garrett had pretty much handled his own versus the Eagles over the past few years, but this finally came to a head where Peterson said, "That's enough of that. I'm the better coach," and he established that, and he had a game plan right out the start, and a perfect explanation. Philly punched him in the mouth. Their physical defense, they overwhelmed Dallas all game. They dominated, and even at the end, if Dallas got that touchdown at the end, you just knew that Philly would stop him on a 2-point conversion. There was never really any confidence that Dallas was in this game. Just the drop passes looked like they, the cold. It wasn't even that cold, and it looked like being outdoors bothered them. Dak definitely hurting, which even when he's healthy, he does have one out of every four or five passes is grossly inaccurate. Yeah. So, but the championship pedigree of the Eagles came through. I mean, you're a little rough on them, calling them like a bad team. I mean, they're a good team, an above average team who slumped down to mediocrity this year because of injuries and because of other things, like I would say lack of motivation. When you lose to the Lions at home, you can't just blame it on injuries. Ever since they won the Super Bowl, they've kind of been up and down, and they only play when they have to. But when the money's on the line, like this, and in the elimination game, that they're one of the tougher outs. And I think going forward, they're going to be a tough out. Like a few weeks ago, we were saying it was going to be a joke or whoever played between Philly and Dallas in the first round. But now it's looking like it's going to be a tough game. Going into Philly in January is not fun. And and Peterson and Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, got to have a championship pedigrees, and they proved it again.
So Philly isn't in yet. We have your Giants, John. Your Giants could upset the apple cart here. Coming off a good offensive performance for the Giants, right? You would agree there?
Oh, outstanding offensive performance, but not much competition. But I look for the Giants to give them a good game.
They're going to
give Philly a scare. Yeah, they're going to give Philly a scare. There'll be a time, maybe like the second quarter, where the Giants even take a lead or something. They'll give Philly a scare, but I think at the end it'll be Philly 31, Giants 20.
There's no Ertz isn't playing. I mean, he's got nothing.
But it's nice to have Dallas Goedert. Their second tight end is probably even a top 10 tight end. He's been in a lot of guys number one.
This is so true, but this could be – this version of Philly could be like the one NFL team whose offensive personnel is like right on par with the Giants' defensive personnel. Like they're probably pretty even, right? Other than, Miles Sanders and Goddard are the two best guys they have. I mean, the Giants tend to get burned, right, by receivers. I mean, they don't really have any.
Yeah.
I think the Giants could really give him a game here, and we'll see what happens. What do you want to happen? I'm interested in this because you cannot want that Dallas shit show to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, but either or, when you get a chance to take out one of your rivals,
whether it's
Dallas or Philly, you don't care. Or even if it's the Redskins, anybody in the division is your enemy.
Because you got a dream scenario here in some ways, right? Like you can be the ultimate spoiler.
Yeah, but also there's a better chance that obviously the goal is you want all your division teams to go out, so we take out Philly one week, and then somebody takes out Dallas the next week. Because like I said, I think Philly is more of a threat. If they get in, they could at least win a round. And as you saw last year, they won a round. And then in the second round, they gave the Saints quite a scare. So
what would be the most Dallas thing ever, right, would be –
to lose to Washington.
For Philly to lose to the Giants and for Garrett to lose at home to the Redskins. The Redskins have been playing all right. Their defense really sucks. But it's
with Case Keenum and McLaurin, and McLaurin's out. I don't think so.
It's like a high school team. I mean, they don't really. Do they want to win the game? Do the Redskins want to win the game? You know.
Hey, well, I mean, they fought hard versus the Giants, but going back to the Giants-Eagles scenario, I mean, the Giants defense, they let Case Keenum go 99 yards to tie the game up. What do you think Wentz is going to do?
Right. Even
with limited weapons. Jordan Howard's going to play a little bit. So, I think Philly's definitely going to score some points. The only way the Giants win is if it's a shootout. But Philly's got some gamers on defense. That's not going to let it happen. They still have a Trent Cole, Brandon Graham out there, Jenkins. They were out there. They dominated. They're not going to hold Dallas to 9 points and then give up like a 30 burger to the Giants. They're not going to go out like that.
And we'll see. I mean, the Giants, Saquon has looked good the last 2 weeks, but the competition hasn't been much. And this year, when they've played good run defenses, I mean, he's done nothing. So.
Yep.
Philly is one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Like, you got to throw on him to beat him. And, I mean, you guys do have some weapons out there, right? I mean, you should – that secondary is beatable. And you have some guys who can beat a beatable secondary. So I think it's a real interesting game. I'm looking forward to it. I hope Philadelphia wins because I Dallas is just such a disappointment, such an underachieving group. You know, at least Philly's got a good story. The whole team's hurt, and Wentz kind of put him on his back and led him to the playoffs. Dallas, it's, you know, you have a 12-4 roster, and you're going to finish 8-8 if you're lucky. It's a travesty. It's bad for the NFL. Garrett, yeah, I can't believe they didn't fire him yet. I mean, I tried to call it twice this year where he wouldn't make it back to the locker room, but I don't know.
Jerry stuck with his word that he was gonna play out the season. That he wasn't gonna can him mid season. But everything, it comes back to the coach, but that at some point a lot of the players got to take responsibility. There was a lot of drop passes, missed tackles, et cetera. So the old saying, you can't fire the 40 guys on the team.
It's not all his fault. But, when you have that roster and they perform like this, you have to get rid of the coach, right?
It's been a couple of years coming. They actually probably should have done it a couple of years ago, but Jerry's stubborn, and he likes him, and he's loyal to him. So it'll be interesting who he comes up with next when that situation doesn't work out.
Yeah. It's a glamour job, right? I mean, it's one of the three or four best jobs in the league, if you don't mind Jerry. So we shall see. So we got some other matchups with playoff implications here. Moving over to the AFC, the AFC wild card is still very much up in the air with no fewer than three teams with a crack at it. Oakland, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, oh, not Indianapolis. Oakland, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee, correct?
Yep.
So let's just run through each of their scenarios. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh going to Baltimore, who is not going to be the real Baltimore. It's going to be RG3 and Gus Edwards. And Baltimore is going to be playing their backups, which could be good enough to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh's current state, for what it's worth. But you have Pittsburgh going to Baltimore. Pittsburgh coming off an ugly loss to the Jets that we kind of saw coming here on the show. And Pittsburgh's in if they win and Tennessee loses. Okay, so Pittsburgh in with a Tennessee. That's the easiest way for them to get in. There's also, they also have some other more convoluted ways, which is Pittsburgh's in, win or lose. If Tennessee loses, Indianapolis wins, and Oakland loses.
Yeah, they need the three-way tie. And right. The four-way tie would favor the Raiders, the 8-8.
Correct.
That would be Raider-like if everything dropped into place and the Broncos put it on them, which wouldn't really be a surprise.
Oh, the Broncos are favored. And
the Broncos favored by three, sure.
So what do you think of Pittsburgh-Baltimore? It's kind of a tough game to project because it's Baltimore's backups, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I think Baltimore's backups beat the Steelers starters. I think RG3 gets a W.
Yeah, I'd lean that way too. Especially, the Ravens have a lot of depth on defense, so a lot of those defensive guys are still going to be able to stop your boy the Duck.
Pittsburgh's offense is just—you can't win without a quarterback, and poor James Conner can't play a quarter and a half of football without getting hurt again, so he's out again. And Pittsburgh does have a good defense, so they very well could win the game 13-10 or something. But given the rivalry, I know Baltimore's resting their starters, but I think they're going to want the W. And, they seem to rally around RG3 a little bit. Like, I think they like RG3. It would be nice, be a pretty, nice little cherry on top of the season for RG3 to knock the Steelers out of the playoffs, right?
Yeah, he's going to be psyched. He's going to be playing fast and loose. This is his first chance he gets to play, and maybe he can show somebody that that next year to sign him, that he could still that he could be a starter somewhere.
Yep.
So he's going to be pumped. He's going to be pumped up. But the division thing, and also it seems when you get that extra chance, you want to knock out one of your division guys, which is also the case for the Texans. They still might be playing a little hard, even though they have nothing to play for a chance to knock out the Titans.
O'Brien said he's playing everybody, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
which doesn't make a ton of sense, but we'll see. So that was our next game. Tennessee in a nice position. They win, they're in. Coming off a tough loss to the Saints. They jumped out all over the Saints, and then that Saints offense is just very good. very, very good. I don't think Tennessee played too bad. Tennessee with didn't play Derrick Henry, gave him a bye week essentially because they knew that this game was the important one. So,
yeah,
man, I liked Tennessee in Tennessee, and they really let me down in the same matchup 2 weeks ago. Houston is. Was their schizophrenic best against Jameis and the boys. Their offense was stuck in neutral the whole game against an awful Tampa Bay pass defense. Will Fuller's probably, I mean, almost certainly not going to play, right? Because they don't really need the game, and he seems to be the secret sauce that the Houston offense needs in order to move the ball. So I'm going to go back to the well, even if Houston does what they say they're going to do and they play all their starters the whole game. I think the lack of Fuller and Tennessee having Henry back and just Houston's general nature as a team that tends to lose games that maybe they should win, I kind of like the Titans here. But it's a toss-up. Yeah. It's a toss-up. They just lost to them.
Yeah, the Texans, that Tampa game was wild. Their defense actually carried them through that game.
Jameis carried them through that game. He was bad, yeah, Jameis. He just gave him 14-0 right at the beginning of the game.
At halftime it was 17-17. It was a tie game, yep. and their defense like shut him down the conventional way the second half.
They did.
Without the gift turnovers.
I think he only had two turnovers in the second half instead of the three he had in the first half. So agreed. And that was a Tampa team. That Breshad Perriman was the number one receiver, and he actually looks good. Like, I mean, he was a first round pick. He looks good, but it's a depleted Tampa team. I was not very impressed with Houston. Their offense was shitty that whole game against. I mean, Tampa's defense really, really has been just pan fried all year. So Tennessee certainly has a better defense than Tampa Bay.
Yeah. To reiterate that the only motivation for the Texans is just to dump a division rival, and we'll see how far that takes them in this game. But you're not really impressed by either team. You figure if they both make it, they'll probably both go down in the first round.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe Houston's thinking you never know who you're going to end out playing right in the playoffs. So I think it would have to be the AFC title game, but I'm sure they'd much rather play the Raiders or the Steelers in the AFC.
Yeah, it's hard to pick these games because you don't know how they're going to be motivated. But like I said, O'Brien's going to be playing all the starters, so they put up a game. But I'll lean towards the Titans. And one good thing for the Texans, though, it said that for the playoffs, it looks like Watt is coming back for the playoffs.
Yep, I saw that. That's good for them. They really need Fuller. I think he's like the... If you look at the numbers, it's crazy how much better they are with him on the field. And just his field stretching ability opens up the whole offense. So hopefully he rests up.
Because it looks like they pretty much got a date with Buffalo.
Yep, Buffalo. That is a really tough game for Houston. That's a bad – I think that's a bad matchup for them just in general. I really like Buffalo in that game. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, 4:30, the first game on Saturday, pretty much locked in.
Yep. And then the last team with a shot at the playoffs, John alluded to this, the Raiders, 7-8. So the Raiders coming into last week needed 8 things to happen over the final 2 weeks of the season in order to make the playoffs. And they got the first 4. Amazingly, they hit the 4-team parlay last week, which I don't even know exactly what it was, but it involved them winning, Tennessee losing, some other team, Indianapolis winning, right, and Pittsburgh losing. I think that those were the 4. So Oakland took care of business at the Chargers, which was a bit of a surprise. And now they need 4 more things to happen. 1. Oakland needs to win at Denver. That is not impossible, right? Denver 6-9. 2, Pittsburgh losing to Baltimore, which we suggested is going to happen. 3, Tennessee losing to the Texans. While we didn't pick it, it is certainly in the realm of possibility. And four, the oddball one, which was they need Indianapolis to win at lose, right? Indianapolis to win at Jacksonville. Yeah.
That's the weirdest part of the scenario where they need the Colts to win to get the tiebreaker. So they need two teams to lose, one team to win, and they need to win to sum it all up.
And then it says Oakland clinches strength of victory tiebreaker over Pittsburgh if one of the following teams win or tie. So they also need one of these things to happen. They need either the Bears, the Lions, the Chargers, or the Pats to win. So the Pats should cover that one for them. But you never know. Crazy shit happens. I'm rooting for it just because it would be nuts. But the nice thing is all the games are played at the same time. Like, except, well, is Indy playing at the same time? Let's see. I didn't look at that. Yeah, all four of those games. All four of the games are playing at the same time. So it's not as though the Raiders will know. So it's a very, very, very interesting. You got to think that Indy's probably going to win, as we talked about 5 minutes before we came on the air here. It came out that Doug Marrone would be coaching his last game, week 17, which I commented to John. That gives the Jaguars one more week to quit on him. So so that's what you'll see with Indy Jacksonville. And who knows? Who knows? But it would be a pretty fun deal if the Raiders snuck in. And to your point, John, the most likely scenario is that whatever one of those three teams gets in is probably going to KC, to Arrowhead, week one of the playoffs, which is almost a certain. I think all three of them would be double digit underdogs. So
I'm not sure Tennessee beat them in Arrowhead. But that they were a different team. Both teams.
The Chiefs' defense is playing a lot better now. I mean, I think. But we'll see what happens. So the only other drama in the AFC, if you want to call it that.
Oh, wait. Hold up. I just want to make an official prediction. Denver 27, Raiders 17. Derek Carr in the cold. Derek Carr is 0-9 in games below 50-degree temperature. And it looks like it's going to be in the 30s. In Denver Sunday. So.
I think the Raiders will show up for Chucky and win that game. I don't think they're going to get in, but I think they'll do their part. The only other drama in the AFC, you have the Pats and the Chiefs. The Pats are obviously Baltimore has clinched the one. The Pats clinched the two with a win home against Miami. If the Patriots lose and the Chiefs beat the Chargers, then the Pats fall to the 3 seed and the Chiefs take the 2 seed. The Pats are like 16-point favorites over Miami. I mean, it would be an abomination if they lose that game. We can talk about Patriots Bills. So my reverse jinx skills, I guess, even though I wasn't really trying to do it, worked. I picked the Bills, and the Patriots came out and played their best game in 2 months. So the Bills have a very, very good defense, and the Brady-led Patriots were actually able to move the ball. So I'm hopeful that this is a similar situation to some other years, like last year, where it took them a while to figure it out. Maybe they have some stuff in the bag for the playoffs that they haven't, they've been pretty vanilla on offense. So maybe it's another scenario where the Patriots are going to turn it on in the playoffs and get another ring. That's what I'm hoping for, John. But I was very encouraged by the way they played that game, because that was really their first kind of must-win game of the season, and they came out and looked like a little bit of a different team.
Peaking at the right time. They're using their limited weapons to the best of their strengths. Rex Burkhead had a nice big game, a couple of nice runs.
Sexy Rexy. Yeah. He's back in my good graces.
Sanu and Nikhil Harry had a couple of nice catches.
Sanu's got a ways to go for that. But they were able to run the ball. Sony had a good game, too. Like, that was a huge key last year. And I had said this last year, and I don't know that it's true, but it seemed like, because the very similar path as this year, where it seemed like the offense just kind of, you know, snapped their fingers and started playing better. Do you think it's possible that they kind of go the preseason route for a lot of the season and don't want to put too much on tape?
No, I think the offensive line is finally starting to get healthy. They were struggling with injuries all year, playing guys like Marshall Newhouse, playing like guys that should be backups. So,
that's probably it. I'm giving the evil genius too much credit, huh?
Yeah. So, but it's good the way the schedule worked out. That pretty much 1 o'clock is a chill time where there's just the teams that are playing for seedings. And the elimination, the teams that are facing elimination all play at 4:25. So they're all faced up each other. It's good how they worked out the schedule this year.
Yep. Yeah. No, really good. It's crazy, actually. So moving to the NFC, we've already discussed Dallas is in with a win versus Washington and a loss by Philly. There's a lot of moving parts for the remainder of the playoffs. So you have Green Bay. Green Bay looked great on Monday night against the Vikings. That was a heck of a performance. Cousins kind of did his thing, unfortunately, on Monday night. But the Packers defense, that pass rush was really good. Aaron Jones was great. Rodgers still hasn't really played that great all year. You wonder if he can turn it on a little bit for the playoffs. But regardless, they're sitting at 12-3, and they clinch a first-round bye with a win over Detroit, which should be a foregone conclusion. Detroit is putrid, and now that Patricia knows he's back for next year, unless they're going to maroon him, no motivation to win the game, really. But so Green Bay clinches the 2 seed with the win and can clinch the 1 seed, and a huge deal for them, having everybody having the NFC title come through Lambeau with a win and then a San Francisco loss. So pretty straightforward path there for the Packers.
That would be one of the most under the radar number 1 seeds in quite some time. Like,
well, they haven't looked great. They've almost been like the Patriots, right? Where they haven't looked great, but they looked really good in this Minnesota game. Really, really good.
Za'Darius Smith, I don't know if it was a combination of a horrible offensive line play by Minnesota or Za'Darius Smith. He just had one of those dominant games where Minnesota couldn't do anything. They couldn't run a basic play because Za'Darius Smith was 5 yards in the backfield. He was all in Cousins' face on every play. It was one of those things where Minnesota was non-competitive. And then the rare occasions where he didn't get the rush, Cousins was Monday Night Cousins. He was kind of shell-shocked because there's so many plays that got blown up that when there were a couple passes, he couldn't create them. So if Green Bay brings that dominant defense with Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, they're going to be a force, especially at home. But
in Lambeau,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, with the way Jones runs it, you know, they don't have to worry about any weather problems or anything. That's in their favor.
And I mean, Davante Adams is a veteran too, who's used to. I mean, he's played his whole career there. Right, so he welcomes it, and you have some, you know, if it happens, you got like dome team like the Saints coming in there. I don't like the Saints to win in Green Bay in January, but anyway, all right. So moving on, the Saints clinch a first round bye, so they can clinch the 2 seed by winning at Carolina, and either Green Bay losing to Detroit or San Fran losing to Seattle.
Wow,
so that clinches them the 2. They can clinch the 1 seed if they win and both Green Bay and San Francisco lose. So, as well, I mean, I know, not to give away my pick, but I think the most likely scenario is New Orleans as the 3.
Yeah, it's not likely they're going to get a bye.
Right.
Green Bay's not losing.
They should beat Carolina. Green Bay's not going to lose to Detroit, right? But San Francisco-Seattle is a great game. But I do like the Niners in that game, and we can talk about that next here. So Philadelphia, obviously we talked about. Philly's in with a win or a Dallas loss. The Niners clinch a first-round bye with a win. Okay, so they clinch the division, obviously, and a first-round bye. So they clinch the 2 seed with a win. They clinch the 1 seed with a win. That's it. Sorry. I was reading further down. So yeah. San Francisco with a win, home field throughout the playoffs. They're going to Seattle. Seattle clinches the three seed with a win. And then that's probably it. So they could get a bye. They could get a bye if they win and Green Bay loses, and they could get the one seed if they win and Green Bay and New Orleans lose. But most likely, like we said, I mean, Green Bay is almost certainly not going to lose to Detroit. So basically what you're looking at is, in the likeliest of scenarios, if San Francisco wins that game, they're the one, Green Bay's the two,
Saints the three,
New Orleans is the three, Philly or the Cowboys is the four, and then the Vikings are the five. I'm sorry, Seattle's the five.
No, the Vikings. Yeah, the Vikings are locked in at six.
The Seattle's the five, and the Vikings are the six. So that's the most likely scenario. If Seattle wins, then we have some other stuff going on. If Seattle wins, it's most likely Packers. Packers won. Saints two.
Seattle three.
Seattle three. Philly, Dallas four. San Francisco five. And Minnesota six. So pretty cool that there's so much on the line here. I mean, it's all, other than the Cowboys and Eagles, everybody knows, you know who's in. But that home field is huge, especially for the Packers, if they could somehow get it. Where, I mean, they're the favorite, right? If teams have to come into Lambeau, they're the favorite. New Orleans is the team that can kind of take it on the chin here and not, you know, go 13-3 and not even get a bye, right? I mean, that's tough. And then you have a tough Minnesota team coming into New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans should win that game, but it's still, and then you got to go to, then you got to go to Green Bay in round two. In that scenario, right? So it's brutal for them to have such a good season and have a chance to not even get a first round bye in the playoffs.
But I was a little disappointed with the Seattle last week.
A little,
because they had a chance to for the number one seed. That's why there's a little juice taken out of this game for them. They're only playing for a division. They're not even playing for a bye. They're only playing for the three seeds, so a lot of juice taken out of this game. I was disappointed by them.
Right, and you wonder. So I mean, they go from they would be the five, right? So if you're Seattle, So if you're Seattle, you'd rather have Minnesota coming in, right? So if you're Seattle, do you want Minnesota coming to Seattle, or would you rather go to? Would you rather go to Philly? It's almost like six in one hand, half dozen in the other, right?
Especially this year, Seattle seems to be they're playing a lot better on the road. They haven't utilized their 12th man too much this year.
Right,
just to pull a crapper like that versus the Cardinals, and I understand that, you know, they have a lot of injuries. They seems like they're resting Clowney for this last game, but I think they should have been more of aggressive and went for that number one seed, because they're undefeated at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, they got killed by the Cardinals. It wasn't even really close.
That playoff record is undefeated at home, so they'll probably turn it on for them.
Tough for them with the injuries.
Yeah.
So, because of injuries, though, we get Beast Mode back, which is pretty cool.
That's going to be interesting to see. And also, I think he's just going to get a few carries.
This week.
I think it's more Turbin, yeah.
No, this week, I think it'll be that guy Homer. I mean, both of those guys are off the couch, Turbin and Beast Mode.
Yeah.
So this week, I think it'll be Homer. But I think after another – so Beast Mode said he'd been training for a couple of weeks. So by the time the playoffs roll around, it's been almost a month. I think he'll get a lot of work in their playoff game.
Yeah, you never know, because remember last year we saw CJ Anderson in a similar situation. And
I mean, Lynch is better than C.J. Anderson. I mean, Lynch was good for the Raiders last year. He got hurt, but he was good when he played. And, I mean, talk about a morale boost for the team. Everybody loves that guy. Everybody will run through a wall for that guy. So.
And you saw that C.J. Anderson was actually upset because he's still out there, and he wanted another chance to prove himself.
Yeah.
But he didn't get the call.
So I like the Niners, though, for the reasons we discussed. Seattle doesn't need the game, really, right? It's not a huge difference for them. And I think they're going to play, but I think their defense isn't good enough. Like, I think that's how you beat the Niners, is you need to stop, force Jimmy G to make a couple of mistakes and then kind of stop them a little bit and hold down their offense a little bit. And I think the Niners are going to go up and down the field on the Seattle defense, and Wilson won't be able to pull a rabbit out of his hat. I think it'll be close, but I like the Niners to win the game.
Yeah, both these defenses are really struggling. The Niners, too, a lot of injuries have taken their toll. Even that Rams game, they had to really pull it out.
The Rams should have won that game.
Some impressive plays, Jimmy G, those 3rd and 15 throws.
That was awful. It was awful from the Rams' perspective to give up 2 3rd and 15s. The last one was a busted coverage. And Goff threw an awful pick six. I mean, the Rams played great in that game. To not get a victory is terrible.
Yeah, that turned around the game. The Rams had the 3-point lead. They were about to go up two scores, and Goff threw that pick six.
Brutal.
But also on one of those 3rd and 15s, your boy Jalen Ramsey showed leadership by just dressing down the poor rookie safety or cornerback that gave up the
play. He did.
Just dressed him down publicly. Showed great leadership. That was a great move. And then now the Rams got to deal with no first-round picks for the next 2 years, and they're out the playoffs. And they got those big price tags on Goff and et cetera. So we'll see how that goes.
Maybe they could trade for Beckham.
I don't know if they have the cap room. But, yeah, he would
fit right in, right? Right. So real quick, John, coaching hot seat watch. We know Marone's gone from Jacksonville. The tea leaves say that Fab Five Freddie Kitchens is going to be gone from Cleveland. Garrett has to be gone, right? He has to be gone.
Yeah, Garrett. Yeah, even if they sneak in at 8-8,
I think they need to win the Super Bowl for him to not get fired, or at least make it. If they make it to the Super Bowl, they probably wouldn't fire him.
You don't think if somehow at 8 he sneaks 2 playoff wins, that would be it's not going to happen. That's crazy. Yeah. But also, coming back, the Falcons saved Quinn's job.
Yeah, with the winning streak.
Much to the dismay of Falcon fans, there was a couple that were not happy with that decision.
I know, but, I mean, at least there's a pedigree there, right? I mean, they had a bad start to the year, and they have talent. Like, would it surprise you at all if they went 11-5 next year? It wouldn't surprise me.
It would surprise me.
That's right. For some reason, you rode that horse a little too long. You're still salty from it.
Yeah. They're just a soft defense. They play defense like, 1 or 2 years, and they're just going back to being a soft team. I don't see it, but we'll see. But, next week's show is going to be interesting. It's going to be our Black Monday episode. We're going to have a lot to talk about.
Anthony Lynn,
yes. He might have to bite it.
And then other than that, I mean, the Redskins are going to have to bring somebody in. Do you think the Giants are going to fire Shurmur?
Yes.
is that a hopeful a hopeful yes?
It's sad when you got to hope for your coach and your GM to get fired, and then who knows? They could bring in somebody worse, which is what happened 2 years ago. This is only a 2 year reign. And it turns out it's worse than the last regime. So,
and I think
it's not happy times.
Nagy is probably done enough to not.
Yeah, no, he's back. Yeah, he's
and,
back.
But Fatricia was the big one. No pun intended. Yeah. But they said he's back. But they just did this to Marone, so maybe they'll ice him anyway.
But every year there's a surprise. What do you have like a shocker? What do you think is going to be like a surprise for this year?
Coach that
might be the Leafs. Yeah. What about your boy? When's he going to, is he going to eventually, does he want to step down and pass the torch to McDaniel, or does he want to hang in long enough and pass it down to little Steven?
I think he still wants it. You want my honest opinion? I hate to say this, but I think he wants to. I think he would love to prove he could win one without Brady.
Yeah,
but I think there's a little bit of friendly rivalry between those two guys.
Doesn't he want to set up a son for his future?
Yeah, I mean, he's like a carbon copy. The kid is such a, they have that same way about them. For a shocker, I mean, would Gase be a shocker? Probably that would be a little bit of one, right?
Yeah,
a real shocker, which I don't think I don't think it's going to happen. But if you were going to say what's the big shocker that I guess potentially, 1% chance would be Tomlin. I think that's at least possible. Not like
taking big money to go to like Charlotte or something.
Right,
I
think Tomlin being gone is not out of the realm of possibility. So that would be my big shocker.
Like a Snyder offered him a big money deal to take over the Redskins.
I don't know about that one specifically, but the Giants, the Giants is a good job, and because you have some talent and you just got to put together a defense really, right? Hope you have a young quarterback to develop. You've good skill position guys. The offensive line has at least been a little better. And, I mean, the defense was awful this year. I think, have they given up the most points in the NFL? If it's not them, it's close. Yeah. Not quite. The Dolphins. But they're over 400, which is not the club you want to be in. The Raiders. If you want to hear the Raiders, John? The Raiders' point differential for the season, minus 105. The Giants, minus 93.
So, minus 105, and they have a shot at 8-8. Nah.
Right. Proves out what I said at the beginning of the year. So, every year you have a team that's like kind of gets lucky and wins a lot of close games. That's the Raiders. They've been winning their close games and then just getting killed otherwise. They could be 1-14 right now.
They're not going to be that 4-12.
No, they're not. Anywho, it's going to be a great week, John. It's going to be a great week. We will be back next week for our big playoff preview.
That's right. And a review of Black Monday.
Black Monday. And if you bear with me here, I can tell you about some other stuff going on at Place to Be Nation. John, did you do anything interesting this week?
Nah, well, I was on the road a lot, and before you go into it, I'll start the plugs off right away. I was very happily surprised. I listened to the Holiday Spectacular, which we can still listen to even though Christmas is over. Andy did a great job talking to a bunch of all stars about their favorite Christmas movie, and I was pleasantly surprised when you brought up The Ref with Dennis Leary.
Yes, it's a great flick, So when Andy reached out to me, I wasn't, as you'd imagine, I wasn't probably tops on the list. So some of the more popular Christmas movies were already taken. But I wasted no time in choosing The Ref. Absolutely a Christmas movie. You have a Dennis Leary at his absolute peak assholeness. He was great, and nice little performance from Kevin Spacey.
it was such a great cast. J.K. Simmons was in it.
Yeah. Oh, he was the recruiter, right, for the Army.
Yeah. Yeah. The
Gussie.
The son. Oh my God. Yeah. When he's looking for Gussie in the bar, and he's like, "Is there a short loser type there?" And he's like, "Hey, you just described everybody in the bar." Now. He's like, "See if there's a Murray there." He's like, "Hey, Murray." He's like, "No answer, pal." He's like, "See if there's a waste of fucking life named Murray." And he goes, "Is there a waste of life named Murray?" And Murray goes, "Gussie."
There it is.
Fucking incredible.
But yeah, no, fantastic. And maybe that can be if we ever do a movie contest, that can be our movie, John, because we didn't do as well with the sitcom contest as we wanted.
Yeah,
Sledgehammer, the official show of the official show of This Week in the NFL, ran into a buzzsaw in the Wonder Years. We saw it coming. We thought Sledge may be able to eke one out. We both got the word out. I know Senior got the word out, but I think ultimately us getting the word out changed what was going to be like a 90% to 10% victory for the Wonder Years to about 75-25, which is something.
Winnie Cooper was a little too cute.
That's it.
We couldn't overcome her.
I was told by someone very close to me that the Wonder Years shouldn't be considered a sitcom, so I don't know where to lodge my official protest with Atherton, but anyway.
To lose in battle. Trust me, the nation doesn't know what they're doing.
Not even a little. Not even a little. Over on the wrestling feed, Place to Be podcast number 537, in which JT, Scott, and guest Drew Wardlaw dive into the 3/19/90 MSG House Show. The 9th annual Place to Be podcast Christmas Spectacular is here, which John just mentioned to you, so take a look at that. On PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance number 13, JT, Jenny, and Mr. D'Amato continue their ECW adventure with the highly anticipated Hardcore Heaven 1994. So that Hardcore Heaven wrestling show, just to be clear, wrestling show. Is that right, John?
Yeah, definitely.
Wrestling, Hardcore Heaven.
I don't know what you're insinuating.
All right, just wanted to make sure. So that one is good for all ages, guys. The main event reaction special stars Scott and guest Dr. G to break down the NWA Into the Fire pay-per-view from Hotlanta. On Body Press Your Luck number 2, defending champion Ryan Everett battles Ed Bennett and Scott Shiflett, featuring a romp through the legendary DVD VR sleaze thread. On episode number 30 of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben Zanny welcomes the Sobros to discuss all things Nashville. JT and Chad are back with Wrestling Warzone number 33, looking at Super Brawl 6. On the Special Relations podcast number 2, Callum, Ben, and Rory discuss their GWWE ballots, favorite Christmas songs, and briefly touch on December to Remember 2006. Don't miss the Pop Crossover event with Andy Atherton as he hosts the majority of PTBN's podcast hosts in A Christmas Card to You. Sorry, guys. No one wants to hear me cough. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Pop feed, where you will find This Week in the NFL, Hard Traveling Fanboys, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laugh-In Theater, DC for You, Marvel Age, the Brother-Sister Rewatch Podcast, and so much more. And lastly, while you're at it, subscribe to Jenny Smith's The Jenny Position feed, as well as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, Journey Through Infinity, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway, and we're in the opening round where Sledgehammer lost. You guys should still vote. I'm still going to vote, but we all know that the contest has lost a little credibility at this point. Be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage. And it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. While you're on Amazon, check out a new book by longtime PTBN fan Adrian Cotton, AWO, Big Time Players, Episode 1, The Beginning of Change. It's a vivid description of the debut edition of the AWO's weekly television program, Big Time Players. Finally, for information on joining Greatest Wrestler Ever pay-per-view and TV match project, visit our social media pages as ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots are due in 3 days, 12/31/19. That's all I got, John. So I won't talk to you before then. I want you to have a happy new year. And I'd like our listeners to have a happy, safe new year. Don't drink and drive. Ring out the decade. This is going to be I counted this with Ryder yesterday. 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010. So I'm going to be entering my sixth decade on this planet. John, seven? Right? You were born at the end of the 60s sometime?
Yeah, the 60s, yeah.
So we both didn't experience too much of our first decade. But again, it's been a great year on This Week in the NFL. I've really enjoyed doing this with you, John, and I know we're gonna keep it going.
Yes, Roger, and your dedication is admirable, that we got through without any bye weeks.
Yeah. You too, my friend. You
went through hell this week.
Your flexibility is admirable because I think for a little behind the scenes look, this will be on the 30 for 30 about our show. We schedule a time every week, and I would say maximum of 3 of those 17 times was I actually able to do it at that time. So John is John's extraordinarily flexible and never gives me a hard time about my busy schedule. So I am very fortunate to have you.
All right, everyone. Enjoy the last week.
All right. Absolutely. Enjoy football. Happy New Year. We're out.
Peace.
We are out.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.